Understanding the unit economics of a franchise investment. This video is for both franchisors and franchise buyers. So if you're looking to buy a franchise, we're going to discuss the economic building blocks, the foundational elements that you need to be evaluating when you make a franchise investment. And if you're a franchisor, well, you need to take a franchisee perspective, understand the unit economics of your franchise, and what that unit economic story is all about. We're going to discuss both. Franchising, franchise investments, it's all about personal goals, but first and foremost, it's also about economics, right? People buy franchises to improve their lives. And whether it's to replace income, supplement income, build a legacy, there's an economic goal underlying every franchise investment. As a franchise buyer, you need to align and really evaluate what your economic goals are and how do they pair up and match up with the franchise opportunity. And as a franchisor, you need to own your unit economic story, who you are, how your franchisees perform, what your estimated initial investment is, and what goal are you helping franchise buyers achieve? Do they leave corporate America and replace their jobs right away? Is it a supplemental income business? Is this a business where we could open up multiple units and create legacy building opportunities? And the good news about franchising, there's one cautionary and one great element. The cautionary one is not every franchise is the same. Some franchise systems don't perform well and some franchisees don't perform well. But I could also say I have seen franchising build family wealth. I've seen it help families replace their income. And I've also seen it help families build a legacy, open up multiple locations, and build a big business that impacts generations to come. So franchising creates opportunity. Sure, there's personal goals, there's lifestyle goals, there's a mission. Everyone wants to be part of a franchise investment or a franchise business that serves a greater good. But right now, we're going to talk about the unit economic story. And to evaluate this from the franchisee perspective or the franchise buyer and franchisor perspective, the building blocks are estimated initial investment, what I'll call the opportunity profile. For example, is this a lifestyle business or income replacement? Scalability, can I go from one location or one territory to multiple? And does that help me scale my income? And personal goals for the franchise buyer, what do you want out of your franchise investment? And for the franchisor, what's the opportunity that you offer to your franchisees? So let's go through some of these building blocks, these economic building blocks, foundational elements. We'll discuss this a little more later on in the video, but first one is estimated initial investment. If you're a franchise buyer, you shouldn't be looking at one particular industry, although you may favor a particular industry and you're going to evaluate it, but you need to be looking at estimated initial investment category, right? What is the estimated initial investment and available capital to you, whether in personal savings or ability to borrow funds, right? So at a certain point, as a franchise buyer, your first category that you're going to be evaluating is estimated initial investment. How much funds and capital can I raise? And what category of franchise opportunities can I purchase? And things can vary. You could, in the same estimated initial investment range, you could have businesses that are, you know, home service-based brands to retail-based brands, right? There's a lot of variation. So you need to focus on your estimated initial investment. How much can you spend? How much capital do you have? How much money can you borrow? And how much are you comfortable investing? And as a franchisor, naturally, your estimated initial investment, item 7, is going to tell a very compelling story because we need to pair and match with the right franchise buyers. As a franchisor, no matter your industry, you need to understand that your competitors are not only people directly in your industry, but franchise opportunities in completely different industries, but at the same initial investment. So estimated initial investment, tremendously important building block, foundational element. Next is opportunity profile. And while this is sometimes tied to estimated initial investment, it can vary. What I call opportunity profile will come down to a couple of categories. Let's say on the left side, on this side, we have lifestyle-based franchises. They're lower startup cost businesses, maybe home-based businesses, lower startup costs, really designed to help you achieve a certain lifestyle goals, whether it's to produce supplemental income, right? So that's a lifestyle type franchise. And on the other end of the spectrum would be income replacement, ROI, legacy building franchise opportunities. These are typically retail brick and mortar type franchises, typically $500,000 estimated initial investment and up. And the value of those franchises, or at least the unit economic story that the franchisor is telling, is one not only of income replacement, but legacy building and potentially scalability from one location to multiple. When I speak with franchisees, this is an important story for franchisors and franchisees. Remember, I had a conversation with a franchisee who now is in a restaurant chain, probably has 30 or 40 units, very young guy, and said to me, "Charles, my first investment, I could barely afford that first location. But I got in, I kept building, and now has multiple locations." That's ROI, legacy building, investment level franchise opportunities. Other end of the spectrum, lifestyle, which can be equally good. They're typically much lower startup costs. Some have scalability and legacy building potential, right? But one is typically a higher startup cost, typically retail. The other is home-based businesses, lower startup cost, income replacement, supplemental income. The key is to understand where you fall on this spectrum. If you're a franchise buyer, are you a dual income family? Are you looking to start off slow and supplement your income? Or do you expect to replace your income on day one or year one or month six? And at the franchisor level, you need to meet your franchise candidates honestly and genuinely at the right positioning. You need to be building your franchise sales process around this unit economic story. As a franchisor, if you're a lower startup cost, lifestyle type business, it's a big mistake to position yourself as legacy building or to sell multiple territories at high fees that really don't support the franchisee goals. So estimated initial investment, where are your franchise buyers in the estimated initial investment range? Opportunity profile, is it a lifestyle type business, a supplemental type, income type business, income replacement type business? Legacy building. Understand what you're looking for as a franchise buyer and understand what you offer as a franchisor. And now let's talk about scalability, because this can vary so much. As a franchisor, it's important to understand the scalability story. Like I mentioned earlier, this franchisee who bought this one restaurant and he could barely afford that first restaurant has like 30 or 40 locations now, running management teams and building a big organization. That's scalable. He didn't start off buying five locations. He didn't even start off signing a multi-unit development agreement. He bought that first location. The franchisor trained and coached him. He performed well, kept following the same pattern, new locations, repeat the systems, and achieving some really good growth goals. So that was a scalable opportunity. On the other end of the spectrum, there's so many service-based businesses where you start off with one territory, you build up your sales, you build up your team, you add service vehicles, and you can grow. There has to be a scalability story, or at least you need to understand it. Some franchise investments, they may be pure lifestyle, or they may not be scalable, and maybe one location that replaces income or performs well is perfectly acceptable. It matches your personal goals. And for a franchisor, it matches the investment profile and the opportunity they're offering. But it's important to understand, what is the scalable opportunity? Is there scalability? If you're a franchise buyer and you have just barely enough capital to open your first location, don't waste money and capital buying the rights to open up additional locations or additional territories. Start with what you can afford. Make sure you're adequately capitalized. And if things go well, as you grow, I'm sure there's going to be other opportunities where you could add territories or add multiple locations. So evaluating the economics, we're evaluating estimated initial investment. How much do we have to invest? What's the estimated investment? What's the opportunity profile? Am I looking to just buy a business that supplements my lifestyle or adds a second income? Or am I looking to build a business that builds generational wealth, right? So what is that opportunity profile? And also, no matter what the business is or where it falls on the spectrum, is there the ability to scale and add multiple locations and multiple territories? And when I say the ability, I don't just mean, yeah, you could buy those rights, but franchisors at your level, what is that multi-unit, multi-territory story you're telling? And as a franchisor, I understand there's pressure to sell multi-territories. Brokers like to sell multi-territories. But one of the worst things that can happen for your franchise system is you sell multiple territories or multiple locations that never open or underperform. And what you're doing is you're blocking out territory. You're watering down your unit level economics. Plus, you're impacting your franchisee story. I'd much rather have a super satisfied franchisee killing it with one or two locations than someone who has extra economic pressure because he or she bought the rights to five or six territories or locations and is not ready to support or develop them. Now, continuing with our economic story, we're going to just dive into the FDD itself. Franchise buyers, you know, or you will learn that the FDD is the franchisor's pre-sales disclosure document and prospectus, and it's going to have a bunch of information in it. Franchisors, you know this, but your FDD, setting aside the legal disclosure component, the FDD is going to tell a unit economic story also, right? So let's focus on some foundational elements in the FDD. Item 5, which are the fees a franchise buyer is going to pay to the franchisor, right? So as a franchise buyer, you're going to pay an initial franchise fee. What is it for? Well, for you, it's the initial fee to join a system, to obtain that initial license, and to help the franchisor cover their expenses for training and onboarding you. The initial franchise fee is also going to be influenced whether or not you buy one location or one territory, or you sign what we call a multi-unit development agreement. Under a multi-unit development agreement or a multi-territory agreement, what you're doing is you're blocking out and you're reserving other territories for future development. It could be a good advantage if you have the right capital and you have enough reserve capital. It could make for a good investment decision. But evaluate what other franchisees have done, how they've succeeded. Don't just buy extra territory to buy it. And at a franchisor level, especially for startup and emerging franchisors, I think it's important. Restrict your franchisees to one territory or even potentially give them a right of first refusal on another. I know you're taking money off the table, but make sure they're well capitalized. I'd rather see the money go into initial marketing, help the franchisee ramp up sales than to just buying up territory that may go underused. So item 5 are initial fees, primarily that initial franchise fee. And also you have multi-unit development agreements or multi-territory fees. Item 6 for franchisees, item 6 of the FDD are recurring fees. And while there are going to be many recurring fees, some of the important ones I'm going to talk about are royalties, brand development fund, technology, contact center, marketing. And why am I going to talk about them? Well, because these are fees where if you're selecting the right franchisor, they should be providing tremendous benefit and value to you. Meaning you shouldn't be looking at them as an expense, but rather a fee that gains value and helps your business thrive. And as a franchisor, behind every fee needs to be an ROI story, a unit economic story. And I'm not saying to do it in detail as each one, but we have to be focused on the value. So franchise buyers, the number one fee you're going to be paying a franchisor ongoing is that royalty fee. It's an ongoing fee, typically a percentage of your gross sales or a fixed dollar amount. That's the ongoing fee to remain a part of the franchise system for the franchisor's ongoing support, for the franchisor's ongoing innovation in the brand. Second fee is brand development fund fees. A brand development fund fee is a macro system-wide fee. It's typically 1%, 2% of gross sales. It's not a profit center for franchisors. What happens, say you pay 6% royalty fee, and you pay a 1% brand development fund fee, well, the 6% royalty fee is technically profit or operating income to the franchisor. The 1% brand development fund fee, well, that fee should be going into a separate account, and the franchisor is going to use that fee to defray costs that it incurs in developing and advancing the brand. For example, maintaining the website, maintaining technology integrations on the website, hiring a PR company at a macro or national level, developing point of sale displays, developing media that franchisees can then repeat. It's not fun paying a brand development fund fee, but if there's value behind it, if a franchisor is investing it wisely, you'll get ROI. I mean, we represent some franchisors where they've actually, especially in the first couple of years, are subsidizing the brand development fund fee, meaning they're putting in extra capital because the brand development fund is actually spending more money than what the franchisees are contributing. But I bring it up because your brand development fund fee, you need to select a franchisor that's using it wisely. And as a franchisor, what is the economic story behind your brand development fund fee? What are all the innovative things you're doing with it? Make that a part of your franchise sales process. Other fees, technology, franchisees, franchise buyers. Some of the questions you should have is like, if I buy the franchise, if I open up my location, how do I do it, right? How do you train me and how do I do it? And part of that story of like performance is technology. And so again, not fun paying a technology fee, but if there's great technology behind it, technology that provides you with a competitive advantage, well, then there could be ROI there. So franchisors, what are the technology advantages that you offer? If you do have a technology fee, what is it all about? And continuing, same thing, contact center, call center, and this applies, well, I shouldn't say more, but it's very important for service-based businesses. So we represent some franchisors where the franchisor's contact center receives web chats, contacts, phone calls, they schedule service visits, they schedule estimates, and the franchisee, the only thing they're doing there, their team of technicians are going out, providing service, responding to customer follow-up inquiries. Contact centers are important. As a franchise buyer, if you see an FDD and there's a contact center fee, again, not fun paying it, but if you're comparing a brand that doesn't have a contact center, then my question would be is, which one's better? You don't necessarily know. Because if the contact center provides a compelling advantage and helps you operationally, then maybe that's the better brand. And for franchisors, as part of your sales process, really dive into what your contact center is doing. Even in your item 19, your financial performance reps, a lot of times we do is we actually include contact center conversion ratios, right? Tell franchise buyers or let them see what's the ratio of leads to conversions and what's that percentage achieved by the contact center. Another important item in item 6, an important expense that you as a franchise buyer really need to evaluate. And as a franchisor, I would challenge you to really be thorough with, which is what's the ongoing local marketing obligations of franchisees. So if you're a franchise buyer, franchisors will typically include a provision in their franchise agreement that says on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis, you have to spend not less than a certain amount on your local marketing. Say it's 2% of your gross sales, or it's a fixed dollar amount. Again, this isn't for punishment. This needs to reflect what it's going to take to keep marketing the business, generating new business, and getting that flywheel spinning. People calling, web chats, people coming through the door, sales. And franchises are no different. Almost every business, when they suffer or fail, it's because they didn't invest in marketing. And sometimes in franchising, franchise buyers, when they fail, it's because maybe they were undercapitalized. They didn't invest in marketing, so they don't have the right sales. And then all of a sudden, there's a snowball effect. They're not generating enough sales. They don't have enough revenue. They don't have enough reserve capital. So what do? They spend less on marketing and the business fails. So item 6 should include a section on local marketing. This is separate from your brand development fund, but how much on an ongoing basis, monthly, quarterly, do you have to spend on marketing? And franchisors, have the marketing plans together for the franchise buyers and have a very thoughtful marketing program, because the idea is they need to succeed. Next building block in the FDD, item 7, we started off this video, we talked about one of the most important factors being what's the estimated initial investment, because that's going to gauge what you can afford or not. And franchisors, that's an important signal to your prospective franchise buyers, who you attract, who brokers refer to you. and most important, whether or not they succeed. For franchisors, it's important to be candid and very straightforward with your item 7, especially reserve capital estimates, because you want well-qualified franchisees. Why? Because if they're capitalized well, they have a higher likelihood of success, which means better unit economics, better unit performance, better validation, better growth for your franchise system. For franchise buyers, item 7 is where franchisors provide you with the estimated initial investment, meaning every, you know, what's the total cost from the moment you sign a franchise agreement to the moment you open up your doors? How much capital do you need? Item 7 also includes a section for reserve capital, which is a 3-month reserve estimate. Some important factors you need to evaluate as a franchise buyer. You could compare item 7s from 2 different brands, but in the same exact industry. And you could see an item 7 that are just so different from one another and can vary 15-20% on the estimated initial investment. Well, assuming the franchisors have similar franchise fees, what would make up for this difference and what do you need to be aware of? Well, typically it's reserve capital. So franchisors include an estimated reserve capital, your initial 3 months. So for example, you're open up during the first 3 months, your sales aren't enough to cover your expenses with some reserve capital. Well, what I would say is first start with your personal goals. When you open up the franchise business, you have to assume you're not going to be generating income, that you're not going to be earning money from that business. So are you in a situation where you need income replacement right away? Do you need capital for your family? Do you need money flowing in to support your family during the first 3, 6, even 12 months of your franchise opening? And if that's the case, then you need to add or include into your reserve capital estimate the amount of money you need for your family. Now, in item 7, franchisors don't include that amount. Franchisors just include, not because they're doing anything wrong, but based on the regulation, just reserve capital to keep the business afloat during the first 3 months. And you'll see in the footnotes to item 7, it'll discuss how this doesn't include salary or compensation to the franchise owner. So when you're looking at item 7, evaluate what your personal finances are, what capital you're going to need for your family during the first 3, 6, 9, 12 months. Factor that in because it's not in the item 7 numbers. The other thing I'd say to look at is what is the initial pre-opening marketing that the franchisor is including in item 7? A lot of times franchisors underestimate initial marketing. What I would say is make sure there's a sufficient budget for pre-opening marketing and marketing during the first 3 months. It's going to be critical for your business. So from a unit economic standpoint, in your FDD, we discussed item 5, initial fees, item 6, ongoing fees, item 7, estimated initial investment. For franchisors, there's an economic story here, a unit economic story, which gets into item 19 of the FDD. Franchise buyers, item 19 is the section in the FDD where the only place a franchisor can provide information about the financial performance of the franchise system, meaning typically in item 19, a franchisor will include a historical perspective of information about how franchisees or the franchisor's company-owned outlets have performed. So typically a franchisor in item 19 will say that during the 2022 calendar year, we had 3 company-owned locations and X number of franchise locations, and here's the results. Now, what are the results franchisors include? It varies from brands. At a baseline level, they may include gross sales, but you want to go deeper. Gross sales, less cost of goods sold or food cost, less labor cost, gross profit, right? So it'd be great to understand a gross profit number. And then maybe there's even more expenses, select expenses or operating expenses. So you could get an idea or understanding what is the cash flow potential of the franchise investment. Item 19 is critical. For a franchise buyer, you need to be cautious when you're evaluating the item 19. If this is a franchise system with multiple franchisees, don't just look at the top 50%. Evaluate the bottom 50% of performers. There may be a reason why there's a bottom 50%. You may be in, at a certain point of time, that bottom 50%. Evaluate it. Understand what the unit economics look like at the average level and also in the bottom quarter. So take a worst case scenario evaluation in the item 19. If you're dealing with a franchisor that just is a new franchisor and the performance they're presenting is only from company-owned outlets, meaning outlets the franchisor started and controls, you need to put less emphasis on the item 19 at that point. It's still valuable, but just be aware these are locations that were started by the franchisor, open for many years, maybe in home markets where they have a good reputation and they're well known. It's not a bad thing, but just evaluate and understand you're not going to achieve that level of performance, most likely. If you do, great. So be aware, franchisor company-owned outlets, that's important. For new franchisors, that's the only information they may have. They don't have franchisees yet. When they do have franchisees, evaluate that data. What does it look like? How does this all come together? Well, we talked about item 19, which is financial performance, right? Which is, what is the gross sales? What is the gross profit potential? What is cash flow or EBITDA potential? Again, depends if the franchisor presents this information. Well, the key for everything, and this is important for franchisors to understand when you tell your unit economic story, which is, what is the ROI story here? If I invest X dollars and I could generate Z dollars in sales or profit, what is my ROI? What's that return on investment? If my estimated initial investment was $250,000, how long does it take me to earn income of $250,000? How long does it take me to generate sales of $250,000? So we need to be evaluating that ROI story, which gets back to earlier. Also, we were discussing the different types of franchise opportunities, right? Lifestyle, supplemental income, income replacement, legacy building. We mentioned earlier, those lifestyle businesses, even though they may not be generating significant revenue, they're lower startup costs, they're home-based, they may have a really good ROI profile, meaning I may earn my initial investment back much quicker than a legacy building franchise. So that ROI story is there. Doesn't mean one is better than the other. You just need to evaluate what it is. So unit economics of a franchise investment, it starts with you as a franchise buyer. It starts with you as a franchisor in understanding what you can help your franchisees achieve and how you present your franchise opportunity. We should be focused first on what's the estimated initial investment. And then if you're a buyer or a franchisor, how does that estimated initial investment compare to your direct competitors and other industries? Also, from a positioning standpoint and a goal standpoint, is your investment just to supplement your lifestyle, supplement your income, or do you have to replace your income? And are you looking for legacy building? And if that's the case, we need to evaluate scalability. If I'm looking for legacy building, is this something I could scale? Open up 1, 2, 3 locations, 4 or 5 territories, right? Is that multi-territory expansion option there? Also for scalability, what's the role of employees? Is it employee intensive? Do I have to be an owner operator? You know, what do the unit economics look like? And also on scalability, profitability, ROI, we're looking at the economics in the FDD, ongoing fees. What's our ongoing royalty rate? What's our technology fee? And what are we getting for our technology? And does technology help with our scalability? Same thing with the contact center, same thing with the brand development fund. So within every franchise, there is a unit economic story. There's these foundational elements. As a franchise buyer, you need to be thinking about them, really aligning your goals. And as a franchisor, you need to be telling an honest and compelling story about that, the unit economics around your franchise, the ROI achieved by your franchisees, and finding that perfect fit franchisee.